Ralph Winterroad with the Ralph Winterroad Show, coming to you from the far north. Truth Seeker of the Far North. Don't have any guests today. And if you want to call in while we're during the show, it's 800-313-9443. And I'm going to talk a couple things about the IRS today, which is one of my favorite subjects, but a couple of other current issues that people, for whatever reason, don't seem to overlook, and even these law professors, these people that are supposed to be so smart. And I saw in the Sunday paper today, the Duke LaCrosse prosecutor is disbarred. Nifong's career, he's no longer going to be a prosecutor. It's admitted that he lied to the judge. Of course, one of the things that we're not finding is why is he not being prosecuted for the penalties of perjury or actually malfeasance, because he's doing things in his office that he wasn't supposed to be doing. But there's a bigger, truer story behind that is all across America. The big story is that people do not, when we're not taught, that the prosecutor is not supposed to be the one that's in charge of going after people like these LaCrosse. What should have happened is that there's something supposed to be called a preliminary examination, probable cause, and it is supposed to be an adversarial hearing. And that's where they should have brought in the lady, I guess it's the prostitute or whatever you want to call her. She should have had to appear in person under oath. And then the LaCrosse people or their attorneys would have had the opportunity to cross-examine her and get her on the record. And the LaCrosse people would have had the option to testify. And if they would have testified, then the judge will make sure that what they said is what they really meant to say, because the evidence that they give under oath can be used against them. And this is called an adversarial probable cause. It's called a preliminary examination. That's the correct terminology. And they don't do it with the IRS on the federal side. They just, in behind the scenes, some IRS guy writes supposedly an information. I've only seen one, and it wasn't even under oath. We never see those. So we start off with the next level, which is supposed to be called the inquisitorial, which is the grand jury, and you absolutely do not have a right to appear before the grand jury. But it's an inquisitorial. But the problem is, anybody that's ever had any children knows if you've got two children telling you two different stories, what's the obvious solution? You go talk to both children and any witnesses to get to the bottom of it. And this is why we have such a screwed up system today, is because what they do is they start off with the inquisitorial and we only get to hear the prosecutor side, one side of a story, and the other side does not have to put on to an independent judge the probable cause to even get it to the grand jury. And this is the core issue of how they get people indicted and they get people found guilty of murder and all sorts of heinous crimes when they're actually innocent, because the Pettit jury. I hear we're going to be back in a minute here, so let's listen, and we'll be back in a minute, and I'll continue forward.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Well, we're coming back from break here, and I'm going to continue it's just amazing. I look at this stuff, and I don't understand why we don't see some more truth here. I mean, we know that what they're doing is feeding us propaganda. But like in this lacrosse thing, what I was talking about is the fact that if we do not have a true preliminary examination, which in Alaska what they have done, and the next judge tipped me off to this, they moved it from the legislative venue and put it into a rule of court. And, of course, our rights are not supposed to be in rules of court. They're only supposed to be for procedure. And I talked to a very high-up attorney that does a lot of criminal cases. And what we have in Alaska, they call it a pre-indictment hearing, and they do not bring in witnesses and do a preliminary examination to determine probable cause. What they do is they read in the indictment, and there's no cross-examination, and there's no witnesses. The only witness they have, they bring in somebody that on the bonding side, and I went outside with him, with this attorney, and I said, well, this doesn't match up. This is not going to work. And he said, well, we can't do anything about it. He said, it's up to the people. And he said, what we're doing with these pre-indictment hearings is all we're trying to do is to scare these people. And sometimes we can get more information, but he said, what they're trying to do is scare them so they don't have to go before the grand jury. It takes too much time. And, of course, they've got a time limit when they got him in jail, and they actually let somebody out the other day rather than have a preliminary examination because they can't do them. Looks nice in the rule, except nobody does it. And I'll bet if you actually went back on this lacrosse thing, because the prosecutor is not supposed to be the party that has the decision. What's supposed to happen is the probable cause determination is made by an independent judge by evidence given in a preliminary examination. The judge is the one that makes the decision to hand it over to the grand jury, not the prosecutor. And this is the major flaw that we have in all of the, quote, several states, actually these corporate states that we have today, is that it's up to the prosecutor. Well, wait a minute. He's supposed to be the guy that prosecutes the case after the probable cause is found by an independent arm of the government called a judge. And then the people are supposed to have two sides of the story. What a novel idea to hear two sides of the story when it comes from the preliminary examination. So then the grand jury has two sides of the story. What a novel idea. I wonder if anybody with any children would figure out that you don't just get one side of the story from one child and then punish the other one. So then they, with two sides of the story, hopefully they got enough incentive to then they will subpoena whatever it takes from one side or the other to fill in the gaps to make sure that there is, so they can do a true bill. And there's supposed to be 24 people, 13 sitting, and then it's a simple majority of 12. And this is where you hear in the nobody could be incarcerated except by 24 of your countrymen, the Englishmen. There has to be 12, simple majority in a grand jury, and then the petit jury has to be all of them have to be in agreement to. So it takes 24 people to get you take your liberties. Of course, we don't do that today. Especially on a lot of the lower stuff. Heck, they don't, these misdemeanor things, which are all private prosecutors or all the cops or somebody that's actually physically seen it. In Alaska, they do only six of the, quote, citizens of the United States. They don't even do 12. Of course, cause it takes too much time, too much money, and we're trying to get these people incarcerated. We want you compliant and complacent from the cradle to the grave. And we want to get there the cheapest way we can. And what's even more astounding, you go look in your Criminal Rule 16 in Alaska, they come right out and tell you that they are going to withhold evidence to protect persons, which the state of Alaska has been ruled a person, to protect effective law enforcement, which is the cops, because we don't want to put in that we know that they have no police power, they have no oath, they have no office, which I'm probably going to talk about today is the office. I'd put that out on the Internet. On my special list and on the other list about why is that word office such an important issue. It's a major issue. The oath of office is major, but it sits lower than the office. But what they're doing, and then the other one in the Rule 16 A up here in the court, is they protect the courts, which is the judges and the prosecutors. So why would they need protection in a true trial by jury? The accused is supposed to be the person that has violated the law. So why do we have to protect the state that's supposed to be the prosecutor? Why do we, of course, this prosecuting attorney is the public officer. Prosecutor is the guy that they call them today. They're totally different. But why do we have to protect the cops and the judges and the attorneys? Why would they need protection in a court? Why would they need what they do in the IRS as the motions in limine? Because we cannot have evidence presented that would show the treasonous criminality of what's going on in the courts. We have no real courts of law. They're long gone. Long, long gone. The federal ones were legislated out, the appellate courts, back in the 1920s, and then in 1948 they took the district court, and that was the end of the law side of the courts. They're gone. All we have is equity and admiralty. And what's even more amazing, like in the 1940 code, they even tell you that. They don't even hide it. Of course, they made the 1940 code is very difficult to find. It's not in a lot of law libraries. I'm going to I happen to have an original set. I need to get it copied and put on CD and get it all over out on the Internet or out on get it so I can make a little money at it, but get it out there so people can actually read what these people are doing. I mean, that's what's even more astounding is they actually tell us what they're doing to us. But anyway, that's the real story. That's the real truth of really what's going on behind what happened. In this particular situation, if they would have had a true preliminary examination and brought this lady in and cross-examined her under oath, because then you can get her for perjury. But see, she'll just walk. And just like this prosecutor, he lied to the judge. That was in an article. Well, wait a minute. All the stuff that I've seen is all they're going to do is disbar him, and he's brought disrepute upon the law, bar, oh, hoo-ha, right? There are some good attorneys out there that are trying to work in the system. Not a lot, but there's a few, so you can't just totally, like any class, like I know some good police. There are a few that would like to see it change, but they're stuck. They have a major problem because if they try to expose what's going on, they lose their job, and probably maybe their wife will leave them, and they lose their home and their children, they get their family. So they're people, it's what are you willing to risk? What are you willing to put up for your liberty? And be honest, I don't have a problem with having some of those police in there, because if we could ever get this thing turned around, it'd be nice to have a few of them in there that actually would might be on our side. But the cost of liberty is quite high. I'm concerned about what's going on with the Browns, with the IRS. I admire their stand. I do wish that they had more knowledge and the wisdom to explain some of the things that's going on, because if you're going to do a high-profile thing, you also want to, at least in my estimation, you want to use it as a platform to get the real knowledge out there and then the wisdom to understand who those IRS guys are and what they're really doing. Who are they? And it's like I'm crying in the wilderness. I mean, when you finally actually can conclusively prove this and connect the dots, or actually make it conclusive and legal evidence by public documents, and people just don't seem to want to, I don't know, they can't seem to open their mind. You take that Paris Hilton thing. Obviously, I mean, we all know, you don't need conclusive evidence on that, that people with money buy people. They buy, quote, justice. But what was the real issue of what happened when that sheriff let her out of jail? What was really going on there? What is the real substantive issue that was going on? And the real substantive issue is that when a, quote, judge, if he is actually doing the judicial power of the state of California, only the governor can pardon or reduce, change sentences. The sheriff is supposed to be sitting in the executive side. He's the chief executive administrator of the. He's the most powerful man we got on the law side, if these sheriffs would ever figure it out. But he has to have an office created, and I don't know if California has or not, with powers and duties. But he's the man. He's the highest executive and administrator that we have in as far as the law. He can tell the feds, take a hike. This is my turf. But what did he do wrong? He altered the judicial judgment of a judge. That's a separation of powers problem. Exactly, a separation of powers problem. And this happened clear back in 1792. It was the first time it hit the Supreme Court of the United States. The same type of concept is that the executive cannot act as a court of errors over the judicial. Judicial decision, separation of powers, if that judge made a decision, they either had to go back to him or go up on appeal within the judicial side, even though technically it doesn't exist. We have to keep the appearance. And he overruled a judge. He acted as a court of errors on a judge, on a judgment. And malfeasance, he should be charged. He exceeded his authority of his office, and he should be taken out of office. That's what really should happen to him, but I haven't heard anybody. Of course, they were talking about holding him in contempt, which is a whole other issue, is in the administrative side of this. Hey, when I say I want this done, don't hold it in contempt. Give me the appearance of justice. Have you seen that in the news anywhere, though? What this guy did is that he acted as a court of errors and modified the judgment of a judge? No. I looked all through the news and I couldn't find anything about it. And can we really believe that none of these law professors or none of these smart people out there know what's going on? I don't know. It's quite amazing. I've actually learned that a lot of these attorneys really don't know a lot about the law because they're not taught it. They're taught procedure and rules of court. I'll hear the music, so we'll be back in a minute. And stay tuned. We're going to get into that little nasty word of office here.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
This is Ralph Winterode with the Ralph Winterode Show, and we're back again, and we were talking about what was wrong with the lacrosse, what happened there with the prosecutor, because he acted as the probable cause and withheld evidence. And then we're talking about Paris Hilton, how the sheriff violated the law and acted as a court of errors. And in that same vine here, I think we'll finish up this hour with a case that is right on point. It's the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation versus the EPA. And that's the it's a for those that want to find this, it's 540 U.S. 461, 540 U.S. 461, and it's a 2004 case. And Rehnquist, Kennedy, Scalia, and Thomas all filed a dissenting opinion. And the issue is that this happened to be an agency decision, and it was overturned by the EPA. And this, again, gets to the most core issue, which has validity with the IRS. That's why, and I'll get to that in a minute, but that's why the United States never prosecutes cases in the IRS, because they can't. They always bring in this instrumentality guy, United States of America. United States cannot prosecute you for a federal tax crime. And I'm going to get into this concept here, but I'm going to read out of this case here, and it's down in the dissenting opinion on the 512, 513 area, and it's just absolutely astounding what this dissenting opinion. I mean, it's rampant across our country, and people do not understand it. The first thing is agencies are not government. Agencies are not government. They're an agent of somebody. Everything is an agent. An agent of who? Everything is sitting under Congress, if you track it far enough. And agencies cannot operate by laws of Alaska, laws of California, the laws of Texas, laws of the United States. They must operate by regulation, authorized by their, quote, their master. So Congress says, hey, this is the statute, and the agency is supposed to put forth substantive regulations with the force and effect of law and give us a comment period. So stated another way, we are being ruled by an agency by regulations, and we have the right to complain. Hey, slaves out there, all of you citizens of the United States, if you don't like what's going on, complain with this jillion amount of subsidy regulations that we promulgate every day. That's the real short story. We're being ruled by regulations. We're the slaves of Congress through an agency. And the agencies compound on us. And they're fact finders, except they operate by statute because they've got us brainwashed to think they're government. They are not government. Absolutely, positively not. That's why there are no public officers. That's why the oaths of office never match up. That's why they're all employees. They're all flunkies. Low-level flunkies. The question you should always ask anybody is, by what authority are you authorized and empowered over my life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? There has to be, think of it as a limited delegation of power. It is a limited power of attorney, and if the documentation in writing does not exist, they don't have it. And nobody's got it. And I'm going to be doing writs of quo warranto here real shortly and raise the stakes in the federal courts against a municipality, their charter, because you can go after a charter to close the city down by a writ of quo warranto. And I'm going to be going after the police, the judge, and the prosecutors. And we're going to see some sparks fly, so I'll probably end up in jail again. Every time I start after these guys, they always come and haul me off, but that's fine. Anyway, this case I'm going to talk about here is a real important case because in about two pages, it summarizes the problems. We have EPA, the federal agency working for Congress, overruling a state agency, which is working for the state, which is working for Congress. And here is here's a statement right out of it. It says, if a federal agency were to exercise an analogous power to review the decisions of federal court, the arrangement would violate the well-established rule that judgments of Article III courts cannot be revised by the executive or the legislative branch. See Hayburn's case, 1792. And what was that case? That case was the Widows and Orphans Act, because after the war, Congress wanted to do the right things by the widows and orphans. Who wouldn't? These people have fought and died, the husband, and we got widows and orphans. So Congress said, we want to help out the people that have got our republic. They sent it to the Supreme Court, the courts of the United States, to make a determination which widows and orphans would accept the benefit, get the benefit of money, whatever assistance they were going to offer. And the Supreme Court came back and said, no, we can't do that because we'd be down to the level of what's called a commissioner. You ever heard that word today? Alaska's all full of them. We have a governor, and everybody else is a commissioner. Well, what's a commissioner? How does he differ? And what's the problem that the Supreme Court of the United States was telling us about? Here are the music again, so I guess we'll find out. Stay tuned, and I will enlighten you on the other side of the half hour, and we'll be back in a minute.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Well, we're back from break. The Ralph Winterroad Show, Ralph Kermit Winterroad II, Truth Seeker of the Far North, explaining some of the most basic concepts of a constitutional republic that have application in today's world of what we're seeing in the news, and nobody talks about it. Nobody, I think, understands it, I guess. Of course, if we had very many people understanding it, we wouldn't have this kind of a situation going on. But getting back to the Hayburn case again, like 1792, and what they were doing is it was a very – I mean, there's always good reasons – to offer benefits to people, to assist people out. But when the government gets involved, it's a whole different ballgame. Because what they do not tell you is that as soon as you accept a benefit, you have surrendered all rights, access to any court of law, and you just sold your birthright. They neglected to tell you that part. That's in Babcock and a bunch of other cases. But to stay on point with this issue is that why is Hayburn so important? Because the Congress wanted to do a good thing for the widows and orphans. We want to help these people out because their husbands and their boyfriends and sons and all those had sacrificed a lot in the war to get us our freedom, our liberties. And they wanted the court system to make it, it seems logical place to go, I guess. Who is eligible and who's not? Somebody's got to make up their mind. Who's going to do this? So they went to the judges and said, please tell us who is eligible and who's not. And the court said, we can't do this because we'd be mere commissioners, not exercising what's called the judicial power of the United States under the authority of the United States, because what is the major issue? As soon as the courts said, oh, Mrs. Jones, you're eligible to receive the benefit. She may not receive the benefit because to receive the benefit, it had to go back over to the Secretary of War. And the Secretary of War would say, no, Mrs. Jones, I'm not going to give it to you. I don't want to, for whatever reason. Two major problems. The separation of powers, because you're taking a judicial judgment, which must remain in the judicial side to have independence of the judiciary. And the other major issue is the fact that the Secretary of War is acting as a court of errors over the judiciary. The Secretary of War, which is in the executive, which is supposed to execute, has no authority to change a judgment of a judge. And this is what happened in Paris Hilton's case. The sheriff, presumably in the executive side, if he is, we'll presume he is, that's where he's supposed to be, he modified a judgment. He acted as a court of errors and violated the separation of powers, and the penalty is malfeasance. He operated beyond his authority, and then he should be prosecuted and drummed out of his job. I haven't heard anything about that happening. But continuing on in this quote, here in this case, it says, by the Constitution, neither the Secretary of War nor any executive officer, not even the legislature, are authorized to sit as a court of errors on judicial acts or opinions. And it gives another great case, which is Plaut, P-L-A-U-T, versus Spendthrift, and that's 514 U.S. 211, which I'm not going to talk about today because we're going to talk about office after the next hour if we don't get any calls in. Going on here to explain, I mean, this concept is so basic, and it's just not understood. I'm reading again out of this case. The principle that judicial decisions cannot be reopened at the whim of the executive or legislature is essential to preserving separation of powers and judicial independence. Judges cannot, without sacrificing the autonomy of their office, put upon the scales of justice some predictive judgment about the probability that an administrator might reverse their rulings. This is exactly the same reason with the IRS. In Title 28, Section USC 2201, they cannot make a determination if you're a taxpayer. They cannot deal with any issues because the determination of who's a taxpayer is sitting over in a regulation for the IRS. An administrator could overturn, quote, a judicial decision if you're guilty of a crime or civilly. Of course, they won't do it because that would expose the system. But this also is the reason why you do not see the United States be the prosecutor in federal cases, because the United States cannot appear. We have another fiction called United States of America, all caps without the. And you can go find it, and it is an instrumentality of the United States. It's a fiction in law. Technically, it's probably the closest. My best guess is it's Congress. And, of course, the money people and all the rest. But it's Congress coming in because the agency hasn't appeared. How does the agency get standing to appear in a court? Who's it an agent of? Who's it working for? It has no executive power, no legislative power, no judicial power of anybody in this whole world. Nobody ever asked the questions. We're working on that right now on a civil side. This goes on to say the court, oops, I hit the page here. Let me back up here. The court today denies state judicial systems the same judicial independence it has long guarded for itself, only that the injury here is worse. Under the majority's holding, decisions by state courts would be subject to be overturned not just by any agency, by an agency established by a different sovereign. we would be reluctant to interpret a congressional statute to deny the states the judicial independence guaranteed by their own constitutions. Reluctant? That's a nice word. Reluctant? We don't have any choice. If we had true courts, they're mandated to do it. It says there is no doubt that the judicial independence was of a paramount concern to the delegates of the Alaska Constitutional Convention. And they quote here, the powers of the state government are legislative, executive, and judicial. Persons charged with the exercise of one power may not exercise either of the others except as permitted by this Constitution. Seems pretty simple to me, because this is the reason why we separated powers, because if you put all the powers in one person, we know what power does. Corrupts, absolutely. You cannot do that. That's why you have to have the three different branches. And, of course, they've merged to today. We have no judicial system. It's gone. There's nobody exercising judicial power of any of the several states. Well, it's gone. And they've closed the door to the law side of the Supreme Court of the United States. I tried on a writ of error. We're not done up there yet. We're going to be trying a writ of habeas corpus et subjunctium because I can't get rid of that. That's in the Constitution of the United States. But we're going to be testing that and see if we can get somebody up there, five of those justices, to get off their butt and try to help us get our constitutional republic back. But here is what's even more astounding. This is right out of the Supreme Court decision. It says here, under the principle of separation of powers, one department cannot exercise or infer or interfere with the function of either of the others. The federal government is free within its vast legislative authority to impose federal standards. For states to have a role, however, their own governing processes must be respected. Can you believe that? Think of the government is to have a role, we've got to respect their processes. If, by some course of reasoning, state courts must live with the insult that their judgments can be revised by a federal agency, the court should at least insist upon a clear instruction from Congress. Can you believe that one? This is the Supreme Court of the United States talking. They're talking right here that an agency can overrule a quote, state court, because we know they're not really the courts of the several states, but then they should at least get a clear instruction from Congress. Does that tell you who's in charge? And then they go on to quote a case here. If Congress intends to alter the usual constitutional balance between the states and the federal government, it must make its intention to do so unmistakably clear in the language of the statute. That's treason, folks. Congress, they're telling us who's ruling the country. Oh, those folks up there at the Supreme Court, there is absolutely no doubt. They're telling if Congress is going to modify the constitutional balance between the states and the federal government, it's got to put it into a statute. That's treason. Absolute treason. It is not within their power, if we're the sovereigns, with a limited delegation of power. Think of your constitution. It is a written contract. It's just no different than you give a limited power of attorney to somebody and you put out the mandatory stipulations of what's got to be done. And when we get to the next hour of office, you'll see the importance of the word office, because that's what it is. And what they've done is they've not only shredded the constitutions, they've shredded our limited delegation of power, our limited power of attorney. They've just tore it up, tossed it in the trash. Because they've got us dumbed down so far, just like they did the slaves prior to the Civil War. A lot of the states said they passed statutes not to educate them, because you don't want people with knowledge, because they might take that knowledge and little wisdom and wise up. It's unbelievable. I mean, what I just read, I mean, that's just absolutely astounding. And farther down in here is some... They make some of these statements that are just absolutely mind-blowers, but they tell you what they're doing. After today's decision, I'm quoting again, however, a state agency can no longer represent itself as a real governing body. Well, of course, it isn't anyway. No matter how much time was spent in consultation and negotiation, a single federal administrator can, in the end, set all aside by a unilateral order. One man, sitting in D.C., probably, he might be in this corporate state of Alaska, everything that whoever the court, whatever's going or this, they're talking about the agency here, no matter what, all they've gone through, one man says, nope, we ain't going to do it. We're changing it. That's it. He just overruled it all. Do we call that dictatorship, tyranny, fascism, totalitarianism? Here is an absolutely astounding. It said the federal balance is remitted in many instances to Congress. Now, that sentence right there is a killer. Remitted. What the heck is, why is it sending there? What is it sitting in some authority in Congress? The federal balance is sitting in the hands of Congress? Absolutely, ever since the Civil War. And it says here, the court remits it to a single agency official. A single agency official. One guy that has no office, has no oath of office, has no bond. Has nothing. He's a mere flunky. He's an employee. He's not accountable to anybody. You can't fire him. Can't even do a quo warranto. Technically, you can do a quo warranto on him because he doesn't have any authority. If you know what you're going to be doing, that's what I'm going to be going after. Let's continue on with this. I mean, this gets better, if you can believe that. Under the majority's reasoning, these other statutes, two, could be said to confer on federal agency ultimate decision-making authority, relegating states to the role of mere providences or political corporations instead of co-equal sovereigns entitled to the same dignity and respect. And they cite a Supreme Court case. Is that astounding? These federal agencies are going to put the states down, these states that we have today, to a mere providence or political corporation. That's what they are in reality. And then they go on to tell us, this next one is just, this word is called cooperative federalism. And it said, if cooperative federalism is to achieve Congress's goal of allowing now state governments to be accountable to the democratic process in implementing environmental policies, federal agencies cannot consign states to the ministerial task of information gathering and making initial recommendations while reserving to themselves the authority to make final judgment under the guise of surveillance and oversight. And that's what's going on. What they do is these federal agencies have got all of these cooperative agreements in cooperative federalism. And they're saying, because they have no authority, but what they do is they mandate to the states, under Congress's authority of substantive rigs, they mandate to the states, if y'all want money down there, all you slaves, we've got these cooperative agreements, and you're going to have to do this, 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 and this, and be a good boy. And if you're not a good boy, we're going to come down and thump your decision. Now, we're a federal agency that has no power of any of the United States, executive, legislative, or judicial. But in the agency world, if you down there don't do what you're wanted, not only are we going to withhold money, we're going to overturn your decision. It's going to be with the one guy with no due process of law. He's just going to say, nope, I don't like that. Is this getting scary? And the Supreme Court is acknowledging that Congress can modify the constitutional relationship between the, quote, states and the, quote, federal government? I thought a constitution was where our limited delegation of powers, and they couldn't go outside the constitution. They're admitting right here that they're operating outside the constitutional delegation of power. Supreme Court knows it. And they're telling us right here. They are telling us in plain English, Congress is outside the constitution. They're using their agents called the EPA, which promulgates money and control over the state EPA, environmental folks, and when the bottom end guys don't do what they want, they just overrule them. One guy said, nope. And if the court says the state is right, the state agency is right, the court of Alaska, one of these federal, these corporate courts, the agency guy can still say, nope, you're wrong. That is an agency which exercises none of the power in any constitution in our country, federal or state, several states or the Constitution of the United States, controlling our lives. One man. No court hearing. No offering evidence. He just says, nope. Could it get much clearer than this? This is what's going on in our country. And we have all of these agencies. They're like the plague, like the angel of death back in Egypt. Going around and all of a sudden they visit your doorstep and, oh, my golly, I sure hope I got a little blood of the lamb on the doorpost because of this. Otherwise, this guy stops. He may kidnap my children, take them over to the pedophiles in foster homes and do all that for money. And what am I going to do? We'll be back in a minute with the Ralph Winter Road Show. Stay tuned for Office Next Hour.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017. Or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
This is Ralph Winterroth with the Ralph Winterroth Show, and we're back here for a short segment. We're going to talk about office next week. And this Supreme Court case that I've been talking about the Alaska Department up here of Environmental Conservation against the EPA, and that case is 2004, and there's already been 530 documents And would you like to guess how many negative cases? One. Supreme Court of the United States had an issue where they had another dissenting opinion. But these states, these corporate states, have really logged on to this thing because this is a good thing. Isn't that amazing? I mean, we can get the Supreme Court to make a really a bad decision, but of course what we've got is we've got one agency sitting in the land of Oz and another agency sitting in the land of Oz, and the Supreme Court says, well, we just got one agency overruling another agency, but of course the court just happens to get involved. So it exposes that down here in the state court system, these courts down here, they exercise no judicial power of any of the several states. They're just agencies. They're part of a, like they said, either they're a providence or they're a political corporation. And what's even more astounding is in this Supreme Court case that they say that Congress can modify the constitutional relationship by statute. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And, of course, these political corporations that we have down here at the issue that because what they've done here is they have made a citizen of the United States the major issue, and they can't do that, of course. But if we enter the fictional world, I'm telling you, there is no limit to what they can do. They can do anything they can get away with. And they can get away with an awful lot because, unfortunately, our people are so ignorant. And they wouldn't know the truth if it walked up and bit them in the tail end. They can pull this off. They can pull it off. And I'll tell you, the case that's sitting on this is Arver, A-R-V-E-R, v. United States. And that's 245 U.S. 366. And this was a 1918 case. And they tell us right here what they're doing. You see, that's what's amazing, is these courts tell us what they're doing. It says here, but to avoid all misapprehension, we briefly direct attention to the amendment for the purpose of pointing out, as is frequently being done in the past, and they're talking about the 14th Amendment, how completely it broadened the national scope of government under the Constitution by causing citizenship of the United States to be paramount and dominant, instead of being subordinate and derivative. So what that translated another way, I had two parents. They created Ralph. I grew up and I said, no, I didn't have parents. I wasn't created by Ralph or by my parents. Ralph wasn't created by my parents, Ralph and Ruth. No, I am that I am. The sovereign power and inalienable rights of the people was limited delegation was written in the constitutions of the several states, and a grant was made to the United States. And all of a sudden, the United States, the thing that's been created, said, no, we don't need any y'all down there on the bottom end. We are because we are. The thing that was created becomes the sovereign. I'm Ralph. My parents didn't create me. I am that I am. Hoo-ha. That's the problem, and here it is right here. This is in this Supreme Court case, and there's another Supreme Court that uses it and two others. Because the United States is paramount and dominant instead of being subordinate and derivative. It has to be derived from the inalienable rights and from the several states. Well, the next hour we're going to talk about office, and I think you'll find it enlightening. And if you've got any questions, be sure and call in to RBN 800-313-9443.
A message for all homeowners and prospective homeowners.